infections diagnosed among people living with HIV/AIDS, cross-matching surveillance registries in multiple jurisdictions.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I just wanted to say a word about our colleague, Dr. Toy Brewer. She passed away unexpectedly around this time last year, and a lot of the data that we'll be talking about today she contributed. So I wanted to mention that she was very dedicated to the provision of improved integrated clinical and preventive services to at-risk and underserved populations, especially women. Can you hear me okay? All right. All right. Persons living with HIV and AIDS who acquire STDs pose a risk for enhanced transmission of both HIV and the STD with which they are infected. And current STD partner services efforts focus mainly on syphilis cases, and current HIV partner services and case management efforts focus mainly on newly diagnosed HIV cases. And as we know, diagnosis of an STD in an already infected HIV patient represents a sentinel public health event. Now, some state and local STD and HIV programs prohibit data sharing that would identify HIV SD co-infected individuals in a manner that is timely enough to allow partner services. Some of the reasons for this include concerns with data security and confidentiality. Also, some programs have separate and incompatible surveillance systems. Some lack staff or training to perform large database cross matches. And some programs are just so completely separate that they have limited communication regarding co-infection. So the objectives of this study were to describe the frequency of HIV co-infection among gonorrhea cases in three regions in the United States with varied GC and HIV epidemiology during the time period 2000 to 2008. Also to compare co-infection percentages across sites and to describe demographics of GC HIV co-infected cases. So we used a deterministic matching method using the HIV and STD registries, followed by a manual review of parcel matches. And this was performed at three sites, New York City, Miami-Dade County, and Arizona. Person and diagnosis events from the matched HIV-STD data sets included GC cases diagnosed during 2000 through 2008. And in order to ensure that infections that were simultaneously acquired, simultaneously diagnosed, were not included, we chose a 60-day interval following HIV diagnosis for inclusion of co-infected cases. So our results. During the study period, overall among all three sites, about 4% of gonorrhea was reported among HIV-infected patients. Now for New York City, this was a 5.5%. And from Miami-Dade County, 4% of the gonorrhea cases were diagnosed among HIV-infected patients. And in the state of Arizona, this was 2%. Now, if you take a look at the trends of HIV or gonorrhea diagnosed among HIV-infected patients, you can see that they were increasing for all three sites. And specifically for New York, this increased from approximately 3% to 7%, representing a 136% increase, from 2.3% to around 4% for Miami-Dade County, representing a 70% increase, and for the state of Arizona, from 0.7% to 2.6%, representing a 271% increase. If you take a look at the patients that were co-infected, you can see that the majority of them in all three sites were males, and denotes, in particular, Miami-Dade County. Almost 24% of those co-infected cases were among women. If you take a look at the age distribution of male gonorrhea HIV co-infected cases as a percentage of total gonorrhea cases, you can see that the main age groups represented are the age groups 40 to 44 and 45 to 49. If you take a look at the same analysis for women, you can see that mainly in New York City and Miami, the predominant age group for diagnosis or co-diagnosis, co-infection, was 40 to 44%. By race, ethnicity, and keeping in mind that we know that surveillance databases are notorious for missing race, ethnicity data. We did, again, look at race, and what we found is that for New York City, 22% of the total male cases in the white ethnicity group were HIV-infected, co-infected, and 11%, similarly for Miami-Dade County, and 3%. So the white race ethnicity group represented the highest percentage of co-infections. For females, this was similar but slightly different in that African Americans were high in New York City and Miami-Dade County. So in summary, in all three sites, the co-infections increased during the study period, and we saw that the majority of co-infected cases occurred among males. And of all the race ethnicity groups, again, keeping in mind missing race ethnicity data, the white race, non-Hispanic, represented the predominant race ethnicity group. And co-infected cases were predominantly among the three age groups listed there, 35 to 39, 40 to 44, and 45 to 49. There are several limitations to this analysis. The first is that these trends don't reflect rates of infection, acquisition of infection, or diagnosis. And some of the increases in co-infections may be due to more routine STD screening among HIV-infected patients or more routine HIV screening among STD patients. And then, of course, underestimates of co-infections likely occur due to differences in matching variables. And then, unfortunately, we didn't have access to sexual risk behaviors or serosorting behaviors for this analysis. So in conclusion, this cross-match analysis was only possible through the data sharing of personal identifiers between HIV and STD surveillance programs. And we were able to identify gonorrhea and HIV co-infected cases. Using this cross-matching method, this method could be used to prioritize co-infected cases for partner services and or referral to HIV case management. Now, there are a couple of public health implications that I think are important. STDs occurring among HIV-infected patients represent a public health priority for intervention, and health departments should consider cross-matching methods to identify these co-infected cases, or ideally and preferably considering integrated HIV-STD surveillance databases to identify these high-risk co-infected patients for partner services, for intensive counseling, and also for HIV care referral. That's all I have.
Great, thank you. Are there any questions for Dr. Taylor?
Absolutely, that's another good point. So she was saying, do we have any information on the site of infection? And unfortunately, we don't have that information in this data set. It's a good point. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.